This is our second night, and it's still pretty surreal.
It's weird.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
But thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for coming out and joining us for Christmas Carol. Just a little little poll. How many of you have seen Christmas Carol in the past? Have seen it? I should have said by round of applause, because I can only see like the third row. But and how many people have never seen any Christmas carols before?
Hey!
Okay, welcome, welcome. Okay, well, good. Good, that's great. So people have seen it before, probably know that we have done Christmas Carol many, many times over the years, and we've always done it differently. Every year we've tried to do it a little differently.
Yeah.
And this year is no exception. And so, for example...
Oh, yes, we have done it as a Western.
Yeah.
And as a sci-fi.
Yeah, oh, we did it as a musical at one point.
Yeah, we did it as a three-person show where you got to choose your own Scrooge.
That is, those are all facts.
Those are all facts.
You can laugh or not. That is just true.
Those are the old factual ones.
Yeah.
And then what else did we do? Oh, we did the all nude ballet.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Talk about March of the Wooden Soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bit that we do where normally Dennis doesn't start laughing and Ken goes, March to the Wooden Soldiers. And then Dennis goes, Dance the Sugar Plum Fairies. And then I go, not understanding the joke, Swan Lake. And it's killer, but it's not going to work tonight.
Yeah, sorry about that.
For those of you that haven't seen A Christmas Carol before, it helps if you're drunk.
And then of course every year we sort of entertain different pitches for
yes.
We should do. And then, so this year you guys made a number of different pitches.
Yes, I pitched an all Conan the Barbarian Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it would have been good because it was gonna be like, oh, Conan, there are rumored to be many spirits.
It's not a rumor.
And like that.
Huh? Yeah, we gave that one a big no.
And then I pitched. Not that we do Christmas Carol differently, but that we just have... Because there's Tiny Tim, but I figured the rest of Cratchit's family should be various different other adjective Tims. So it should be like Wide Tim and like Green Tim and like Ridiculous Tim. And like very, but also, that was shut down.
Yeah.
And I pitched the Muppets, and that was
no go. I really like that idea.
It's the Christmas Carol with our very special guest star, Ebenezer Scrooge. Yeah!
But then we were worried that they would sue us, so we didn't do that. Because, you know, Disney.
Yeah, when it's all Disney Plus and you had to pay for premium access.
So they
wouldn't let me squeeze in the Tiny Tim joke, which I was excited about, because he was going to be a robot, and he was going to have a dog. And
So last year what we did was we found this old silent film that we fixed up and we put it out online. And at the same time as we found that silent film, we found a script for a radio play from the 1930s. And we don't know exactly which year it came from, but we know from the
references. Oh boy, is this offensive.
It is from the 1930s, and that's what we're going to perform for you tonight, and that's why we're set up this way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just to explain a little bit more, this is Ellis over there on the keyboards, and you can give Ellis a nice round of applause. Ellis will be supplying music and some voices for us, and this is Michael, and Michael, you're doing Foley, and perhaps you can just explain a little bit what Foley is.
Yeah, sure. Foley is like live sound effects, so if you close your eyes and imagine yourself walking through the snow.
That's just a little sample, and then, so up there, if you look up there, that's John, and you can say hi to John. Is that John? John's recording the show for us, and he's also taking care of all of the live sound. So he's actually sort of working with us as the show progresses. And then we have Ken, myself, Dennis, Rob, and Jen. We're going to be doing all of the character voices. So that's how it's going to go. And also, you have a role as well. You will be our audience tonight. And we will be recording the show tonight. And we're going to take at least one recording, and we're going to put it out online next week, and it's on loosemoose.tv, so if you want to check that out. And so, and sometimes we have little cue cards for you. You can react how you wish, but sometimes we want you to react in certain ways. So, for example, If you see, oh, yeah. You're a good audience. Last night, the audience that we had to rehearse them for like 20 minutes. So that's your role. And the only other thing I would suggest to you is that every once in a while, don't just watch the show. Close your eyes and listen, because it's a very different experience than watching and listening.
Yeah.
Just a little inside tip.
And listen to us and not the noisy band next door.
Yeah, if there is a noisy band. If there's a dance studio next door, and sometimes they're a little bit noisy. So we apologize for them. Yeah. Any questions? Okay, good. That's great. Excellent.
We're done.
All right. So, and now?
A Christmas Carol.
The LMTC Broadcasting Network and the Van Dyke and Brunchette family of fine products are proud to present the Loose Moose Players in A Christmas Carol. At this festive time of year, we are pleased to offer this timeless classic based on the original story by Charles Dickens. And to paraphrase the great man himself, we endeavor in the ghostly story to raise the ghost of an idea, which shall not put our listeners out of humor with themselves, with each other, with the season, or with us. And now a word from our sponsor, Van Dyke and Brunchette.
Good evening. Of course you know Van Dyke and Brunchette is the makers of many fine products, like sofa cigarettes. Taste real good, like a cigarette should. And of course, Cane Cola, now with 7% more Coke. And Flytox insect spray with extra DDT, stops pests dead in their tracks. This evening, we at Van Dyke and Brunchette are very pleased to bring you this special broadcast at this most wonderful time of year. From our family to yours, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and an even better New Year.
Well, I know I certainly enjoy Cane Cola a lot. Actually, I'm enjoying one right now. Now, this evening's presentation of A Christmas Carol, narrated by special guest star Alec Guinness and performed by the Loose Moose Players. Let's go.
Good evening, and welcome to our humble home. Please have a seat and warm yourselves by the fire while I tell you a story. Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatsoever about that. There is no doubt that Marley was dead. Dead as a doornail. Dead. It is the day before Christmas, and Bob Cratchit is desperately trying to make his way through the crowded streets of London to his job as Ebenezer Scrooge's clerk.
Merry Christmas, Bob.
Oh, Merry Christmas. Good seeing you. I'd love to stay and chat, but I've got to be on my way. I'm late.
Cratchit, my goodness, how long has it been?
It's been a while, Frank, but I can't stay and chat. I've got to make my way to work. See you later. Merry Christmas. Yes, Merry Christmas. Is that goose? Oh, there's geese. What are all these geese doing here? Oh, no, out of the way, geese. What are you even doing here this time of year?
Might I interest you in a free sample of sofa cigarettes? Tastes real good, like a cigarette should.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I actually...
First pack is free.
I don't smoke, but thank you very much for the offer.
You could if you only tried.
I really don't need...
Oh, it's a Christmas gift from me to you.
Well,
You wouldn't turn down a Christmas gift, would ya?
No, thank you very much for the cigarettes.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Well, I really don't want these. I will just leave them here where someone older can come along and have them. There we are.
Matches.
All right.
That's your matches from the original Little Match Girl. Ooh, look here, cigarettes. Now I have something to demonstrate my matches with.
Ooh, that's smooth. Ooh, that's good. Matches, get your matches.
I'm sorry, little girl, but I meant for those actually to go to someone.
Try and take it from me, old man, and I'll burn you down.
I'm sorry. I thought you were a young girl, but I was mistaken. I will be on my enjoy your cigarettes. Oh, now I really am late. Oh, I really best be on my way. Okay, here we go. What? What's that? Oh, it's Tappy, the tap dancing horse. Hello, Tappy. What's that, Tappy? You have a problem. Well, anything for a friend in need. All right, what is it, Tappy? So there's two trains that can get you home for Christmas. One of them is a fast train, and one of them is a slow train, and you don't want to know which one would get you home quicker. All right, well, calculating that fast train travels at 60 miles per hour, and has three stops that average about 10 minutes apiece, and the slow train travels at 45 miles per hour, but makes no stops, it would in fact be the slow train that would get you there faster, Tappy. You're welcome, Tappy. Anything at all, I love a math problem. Okay, see you later, Tappy. Yeah, Merry Christmas, enjoy your train ride. Okay, now I really, really am late.
Ebenezer Scrooge never painted out old Marley's name. There it stood, years afterwards, above the door. Scrooge and Marley. Inside, Scrooge was working in his cold, dark, and dismal office.
Excuse me, Mr. Scrooge. My wife and I were wondering if we could have a word with you.
What can I do for you?
Well, you see, Mr. Scrooge, it's about our loan. We were wondering if there's any way that we could have a wee bit more time to make payment.
We wouldn't ask, but you see, Mary and I, we're expecting. and we already have 12 children to feed and clothe, so we're a wee bit short right now.
Let me get this straight. You wish for me to give you an extension on your loan?
Well, seeing how it's Christmas and all.
Yes, yes, it'll tell me something. Why do you have so many children?
Oh, well, we have so many babies because we're sad.
And we're sad because we have so many babies.
I see, I see. Well then, because you have so many babies, and since it's Christmas time, I will give you something.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Scrooge.
I'll give you an ultimatum.
Oh, hear that, Mary? An ultimatum. Sounds fancy.
You will make payment on your loan in full and on time, or I'll have you evicted. You'll be out on the streets for Christmas.
But, Mr. Scrooge...
Maybe some of that bridge finance,
no,
isn't it?
No, nothing. Now get out!
Oh. Come along, husband. I'm feeling a wee bit sad.
Oh. Idiots. You're late.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. There was a lot of geese and a girl smoking and a Tappy had a math problem. And...
enough of your ornamented excuses.
Yes, sir.
Get to work.
Yes, sir. Mr. Scrooge.
Yes.
It's quite cold in here, Mr. Scrooge. I wonder if we could have another piece of coal for the fire.
Coal, Mr. Cratchit? Do you think coal grows on trees?
Well, it...
No, you may not have another piece of coal. Now get to work.
Yes, sir.
Take a letter.
Yes, sir?
Dear editor...
I'm sorry, Mr. Scrooge. It's so cold in here that the typewriter is actually frozen.
Enough of your complaining, Mr. Cratchit. To continue, it has come to my attention that there are now a large number of soup kitchens throughout the city. It is my tax dollars that are paying for all this soup, and what am I getting in return? Nothing. I would far prefer to see the money put towards worthy endeavors, like space adventures. I see myself and other men like me on large, provocatively shaped rockets that are in no way indicative of our egos, taking joyrides into outer space, or as close as we can get. Therefore, I say, down with soup, and up with rockets. Yours sincerely, Ebenezer Scrooge. Read that back to me.
Dear.
Well, as soon as you get caught up, send it to the Times.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm right away. Oh, hello, Fred.
Hello, Bob, and a very merry Christmas to you. Is he in a good mood?
No.
Merry Christmas, Uncle!
Bah, humbug.
Well, Christmas, a humbug, Uncle? But surely you don't mean that. You know what your problem is? It's so dark in here. You need to let some light in, and you know, everyone will feel better.
Don't do that! Don't open the window!
Open the window!
What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Well, come then. What right have you to be dismal? What right have you to be morose? You're certainly rich enough.
Bah, humbug.
Don't be cross, Uncle.
Oh, what else should I be when I live in a world of fools such as this? Out upon your Merry Christmas is just another time for spending money you don't have. Another year older, but not a day richer. If I can work my will, every idiot that went about with Merry Christmas on their lips would be boiled in their own Christmas pudding with a sprig of holly driven into their hearts.
Uncle!
Nephew, you keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep
then
it.
Then let me leave it alone. Much good it's done you, much good it will ever do you.
Well, there are many things that I might have derived good that I have not profited from. I dare say a Christmas among the rest. But I like to think of Christmas time, apart from the veneration due its sacred name and origin, as a happy time, kind, forgiving, charitable time. The only time I know of in the long calendar year when men and women seem to open their shut-up hearts freely and think of people below them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave and not some other creatures bound on other journeys. It's a time of year when a wife might warn a husband about a bay leaf in the stew. You know, showing that she cares. And though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good, and will do me good. And therefore, Uncle, I say, God bless it!
Oh, well done, Fred, well done.
Oh, shut up!
You're quite the speaker, sir. It's a wonder you don't go into politics.
Come dine with us tomorrow night, Uncle.
Tell me something, why did you get married?
Oh, but because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love. What's love got to do with it?
Got to do with it.
Got to do with it.
What's love? A second-hand emotion. What's love got to do?
Catch it!
One more note out of you and you'll be looking for a new job for Christmas.
Uncle, you never came to see me before I was married. Why use it as an excuse for not coming now?
Good afternoon.
Uncle, I want nothing from you. I ask nothing from you. Why cannot we be friends?
Good afternoon.
Well, it breaks my heart to find you so resolute. I've done my job and my value to Christmas, and I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
Merry Christmas, Bob.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Fred.
Oh, Uncle, there's some charity canvassers outside. I'll send them right in.
I will get rid of them, sir. I will get
make
rid
Make sure.
Right. Yes, yes.
Just.
We'll be right back. Excuse me, gentlemen. I don't know if he's particularly in mood to have any business right now. Yeah, but I really don't think it's a good idea to go there.
Do we have the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley has been dead for 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
Certainly hope his liberality and generosity is survived by a surviving part.
You see, Mr. Scrooge, at this time of year, necessary for us to gather up the simple...
To gather a small stipend for the poor and needy.
Yeah, when one really requires the...
Gentlemen!
gentlemen, are there no prisons?
There is, but not everyone's a criminal.
Yes, and the garment industry sweatshops, are they not still in operation?
Well, yes, but they moved their operations to third parties.
And what about the drop-in center?
It's just difficult to access with all the development of these.
Well, the way you gentlemen have been speaking, I thought perhaps they'd done away with these institutions.
Yes, but they scarcely furnish the sort of
Christian cheer of mind or body that we're looking for about this time of year.
What we're looking for is the simple things that can warm the heart. Or even the belly. Some warm soup or a hot cocoa or like a nice sweater or a little hamster that you could put in the pocket of a hoodie and have it run around inside of it. Except for the static electricity and the instruction. But how much can we put you down for?
Nothing.
Oh, you wish to remain anonymous.
Gentlemen! Since you've asked me what I wish, I'll tell you. I don't make myself much merry at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle fools merry. If people are poor off enough, they should go to these places we've spoken of. I pay my taxes for them.
But some people would rather die than go to these places that you suggest.
Well, then die they should. And decrease the surplus population.
So many poor. One need merely look out the window.
No, don't do that now. They're the poor.
Yes, and I have just the thing. Now, where is that fly tox with extra DDT? Ah, yes, right here.
Oh, no, you're ridiculous. Where is your humanity, sir?
You want to see my humanity? Here it is.
What? You cannot spray a member of the...
You came into my business, and you are asking... You, sir, are a socialist.
They got past me.
Well then, perhaps now we can get some work done, Mr. Yes, sir. Cratchit.
Of course, sir.
Yes, of course. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, No, Cratchit, I will take care of this. Stick your hand through the doorway, and I'll give you a coin.
Okay.
Yes. Scrooge opened the door, but just a little.
Okay, I'm putting my hand through.
The boy stuck his hand out, as soon as it was in the doorway, Scrooge slammed it. And again. And again. And then Scrooge held it closed on the boy's hand, and the boy pulled and pulled at his arm that stretched and stretched until it was now a very long arm. Only then did Scrooge release the boy's hand. The boy wandered away singing sadly as his hand dragged some distance behind. Mongrel dogs licking at his fingertip.
Finally, we can get some work done.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing, Cratchit?
Well, sir, it's 5 o'clock, sir.
5 o'clock already? Yes. Well, time flies when you're having whatever it is we were having.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, good evening.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Scrooge, tomorrow is Christmas Day, sir. And as such, the
I
whole
suppose you'd be wanting the whole day off.
Oh, if it's not inconvenient, sir.
Not inconvenient? Of course it's inconvenient. You'd find yourself hard done by if I held back half a crown, but I pay you for a full day's work when no work is done.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, it is just once a year, sir.
Yes, fine excuse to pick a man's pocket every December 25th. All right, you can have the whole day off, but you be in all the earlier the next.
Thank you, sir. Of course, I'll be in bright and early the next day and ready to work. And of course, the whole Cratchit family thanks you. And we all wish you a very merry...
What?
Merry and a little...
Yes, I'm sure she did. Oh, yeah.
The office was closed in a twinkling, and on his way home, the clerk took a sled ride down St. Patrick Island Hill 20 times in honor of it being Christmas. And then he ran the rest of the way home to Dover to be with his family on Christmas Eve. When Scrooge arrived at the entrance to the building where he lived, in chambers that once belonged to his deceased partner, he took out his key and placed it in the lock. Suddenly, he saw Jacob Marley's ghostly face appear in the door knocker. It was not angry or ferocious, but looked at Scrooge with ghostly spectacles. And though the eyes were wide open, they were perfectly motionless. That, in its livid color, made it horrible. As soon as Scrooge looked at this phenomenon, it was a door knocker once again. Scrooge went inside and shook off the eerie feeling, dismissed the very idea of what he had seen. He then lit a candle and made his way to his bedroom. Ebenezer began to undress when he heard the sound of someone breathing heavily in a darkened corner of the room.
Who's there?
It's me.
Mrs. Pennywhistle?
Yes, Mr. Scrooge.
What
are
you
flesh.
Doing, Mrs. Pennywhistle?
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Scrooge, but I was waiting here with your soup and I fell asleep briefly. But when I woke up, you were nearly naked. But I didn't want to startle you, so I waited.
Well, if you could avert your eyes so that I can finish getting into my night clothes.
Oh, yes, of course. Not that I haven't seen a man's private parts before, having been married and all.
Yeah, there. Now then, what kind of soup did you bring me in?
Well, it's leek and potato soup, sir.
All right.
But they didn't have any leeks.
Oh, okay.
Or potatoes.
So it's just broth?
Yeah, you could say that.
All right.
Speaking of my husband, he's a good man, he was. We always wanted to have children, but unfortunately couldn't not. Not for lack of trying, I might add. He was a curious little monkey.
But there, I'm done. Thank you, Mrs. Pennywhistle, that'll be all.
Apparently I'm as barren as a desert. You could say I'm a real dust bowl.
What? All right, Mrs. Pennywhistle, I finished my soup. You can leave now.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course, sir. But before I do, I was wondering, would you like to take a walk in the desert? It's not very moist, but the wind is warm.
What? No, no, of course not.
My bowl is your bowl.
Thank you, Mrs. Pennywhistle. On your way. Good night.
Oh, sending a poor old woman out into the dark night. Oh, well, you had your chance. Good night, Mr. Scrooge. Midnight at the
races.
Put your camel to bed.
And so Ebenezer Scrooge locked and double-locked his bedroom door, went to bed, and fell fast asleep.
Oh.
Is there someone there? Mrs. Pennywhistle, is that you? What do you want with me?
Much.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Who you was?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Mallory. Do you believe in me?
I don't.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Well, because any little thing affects them. You may be an undigested bit of beef or a fragment of undone potato, if there was any potato. There's more of gravy than of grave about you, whatever you are.
Scrooge held on tight to his bed to save himself from falling off in a swoon. But how much greater was his horror when the phantom, taking off the bandage round his head, its lower jaw dropped down upon its breast.
Do you believe in me now?
I do, I must, but why do spirits walk the earth and why do they come to me?
It is required of every man the spirit within should walk abroad among his fellow men. And if that spirit doth not do so in life, is condemned to do so after death, doomed to wander through the world with his eyes cast down and witness what he cannot share, but could have shared on earth and turned to happiness.
You are fettered.
Fettered?
Chained.
I wear the chains I forged in life. I forged them link by link, yard by yard. I girded them of my own free will, and of my own free will I bore it. Is its pattern strange to you, or does it resemble the weight and coil of the strong chain you bore yourself 7 Christmas Eves ago? You've lived on it since. It's a ponderous chain.
Oh, Jacob, speak comfort to me.
I have none to give. I have none. I misused my life. I cannot stay. I cannot linger anywhere. In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing home.
But you were always a good man of business.
Business! Mankind was my business. Mercy was my business. Benevolent, simple barons were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop in the comprehensive ocean that was my business. Ah, hear me, my time is nearly gone.
I will, but don't be hard on me.
I'm here tonight to warn you, Ebenezer. There's but a chance and a hope of escaping my fate. A chance and a hope for Ebenezer.
Oh, you were always a good friend to me.
Tonight, you will be visited by 3 spirits.
Is that the chance and hope you spoke of, Jacob?
Tis.
I'd really rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path that I tread. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls 1.
Well, couldn't I take them all at once and have it over, Jacob?
Expect the second on the next night at the same hour, and the third upon the next night when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. Look to see me no more!
Scrooge watched as Marley's ghost floated out the window into the bleak, dark night. Outside, the air was filled with phantoms wandering in restless haste and moaning as they went. Every one of them wore chains like Marley's ghost. Whether these care creatures faded into the mist, or the mist enshrouded them, he could not tell. But they and their spirit voices faded, and the night became as it had been when he walked home. Scrooge closed the window and examined the door by which the ghost had entered. It was double locked, as he had locked it with his own hands, and the bolts were undisturbed. He tried to say, humbug,
hum,
but stopped at the first syllable. He then went straight to bed and fell asleep.
What's that? The hour itself and nothing else. Spirits. Bah! As I thought, it must have been something that I ate. Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas Past.
Long Past?
No,
your pals.
What business brings you here?
Your welfare.
It's really not necessary.
Your reclamation, then. Take heed, rise, and float with me down the river of time.
The river of time? Oh, yes, I see. The river, and we're going backwards in time.
Behold.
I don't believe it. That's the school I went to when I was a boy and the dormitory I spent so much time in. Oh, my. And that's me, alone, reading one of my books.
Hey, well, what are you doing in here all alone, Ebenezer?
Reading a book, he is.
Oh, what are we doing now when we don't have to?
Think you're better than us?
I just enjoy reading, that's all.
He just enjoys reading and stuttering. My father says your father is also a loser because he's a drunkard. And that's why you can't go home for Christmas, loser.
Ebenezer loser. Ebenezer loser. Ebenezer loser. Ebenezer loser.
Ebenezer loser. Ebenezer. Boys! Attention, please.
Yes, headmaster.
Gentlemen, it's time for you to make your way home for the holidays to the mothers and fathers that love you a great deal and who very much look forward to seeing you, especially at this wonderful time of year. Indeed, the vast majority of you are going home to families that care about you and will celebrate your homecoming with great joy and will follow along your developmental path to becoming good Christians. Therefore, all of the boys who are going home for Christmas, please make your way to the train.
Oh, boy. Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Well, Ebenezer, it looks like it's just you and me for Christmas. I don't worry, we'll have a fine time. I'm sorry the other boys were teasing you, Ebenezer.
They made fun of me because I stutter and because I like reading.
Well, Ebenezer, making fun of someone's speech impediment is not very Christian, and reading is a gift from God.
Yes, Headmaster.
And what book is it that you have there?
The Origin of the Species by Mr. Charles Darwin, sir.
How dare you bring that filth into this place of learning? You will burn down this path, Ebenezer. You will burn in a lake of fire for all eternity. 1,000 lifetimes would not be enough to explain the pain you will experience as Satan's fingers prod you with their insides, with their pokey, unmanicured fingernails. The earth was created in 6 days, Ebenezer, and it has been assumed to be only 6,000 years old. In fact, if you read your Bible, you would discover many of the truths which are there embedded. Why, I'll get it.
I'm looking for my brother, Ebenezer Scrooge.
He's right over there.
Little Fran, is that really you?
I have come to bring you home, dear brother. To bring you home, home, home.
Home, little Fran?
Yes, home, home, forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he ever used to be. But home is like heaven. He rarely has episodes anymore. He spoke to me so gently one night when I was going to bed that I was not afraid to ask him once more if you might come home. And he said yes. And he sent me to bring you. And you're to be a man and you're to never come back here. But first we're going to be together for all Christmas long and have the merriest time in the world.
Oh, I'll have to ask the headmaster first. Excuse me, headmaster. Mm. This is my sister Fran and she's come to bring me home for Christmas, she has. If that's okay with you.
Of course, Ebenezer. You may go home for Christmas, but only if you promise to stop reading Mr. Darwin's wicked lies.
Oh, yes, sir, of course, sir. Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Yes. Well, suppose it's just me for Christmas. Well, guess that gives me an opportunity to play my favorite phonograph recording. I'll just put it on. Ah! Who put the sixpence?
sixpence in the Christmas pudding? Who put the sixpence in the Christmas pudding? Who put the sixpence in the Christmas pudding? Who put the sixpence in the skip Christmas pudding? Who put the sixpence in the Christmas? The record is skipping. Who put the sixpence in the Christmas pudding? Who put the sixpence in the Christmas?
Yes, yes, Spirit. I remember my sister Fran brought me home, but I don't seem to remember what happened then. Are you about to show me a happy Christmas, Spirit? Is that it?
Well, not exactly. Behold.
Oh, Fran, everything looks beautiful.
Do you like the decorations? I made them myself.
Ebenezer, is it really you?
Yes, Father. Fran has brought me home.
For Christmas and forever.
Yes, 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 as it should be. You look well, my boy.
Oh, and you, Father, also look very well.
Yes, I am well. And I've been working again. A brand new venture that is sure to make us all rich.
That's wonderful to hear, Father.
It really is an excellent idea, Ebenezer.
Everyone told me that trying to grow grapes in England was foolhardy. But I did grow them, and then I let them freeze on the vine. And when pressed, they make the most wonderful wine.
It's wonderful, Ebenezer. It's like nectar from the gods.
We've so far produced 1,000 bottles, and I've just sent samples to every wine taster in the country. I've even sent a whole case to the Queen. So everyone will know about this excellent English wine.
That is truly marvelous, Father. Well done. Well done indeed. But tell me, Father, what did you name this wine?
Oh, well, that's the best part. I felt that I was going to put my full name on the label, Elhanus Samuelson Scrooge. But I felt that that was a bit too long for the label, so I just shortened it to the initials. Here, let me get a bottle out for you, and I set aside this case for us. There you go. Have a look.
Father, your initials.
Yes? What about them?
Well, they are A.S.S.
Yes, Elhanus Samuelson Scrooge.
A.S.S. It spells ass, Father.
What?
Look, see the label.
You know I can't read. Does it really spell ass? Are you sure?
Yes, Father. Ass wine. That's what it says.
I could have warned you, Father, if only I wasn't a young woman and had learned how to read.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Ass wine. This is a disaster. We're ruined. Ruined. And it's all your fault. You come in here with your book learning and your spelling. Everything's fine until you showed up. Get out!
Oh,
get out!
Oh, Father, please let him stay.
Oh, get out! I never want to see you again. Now, where's that corkscrew?
Please, Father, don't start drinking again.
Go to your room. Leave me with my broken dreams and my ass wine.
Well, that wasn't a very good Christmas at all, Spirit.
Your sister Fran was always a delicate creature whom a breath might have withered, but she had a large heart.
Oh, so she had.
She died a woman and had children.
One child.
True. Your nephew Fred.
Yes.
Well, time's a-wasting. Do you know this place?
Know it? This is Fezziwig's, where I was an apprentice. And there's Dick. There he is. Good old Dick. He was very much attached to me, was Dick. Poor Dick. Dear, dear Dick. And there
there is old Fuzzywig himself, alive again!
Attention! Attention! Everywhere tonight! It's Christmas Eve! Dick Christmas! Ebenezer! Clear the way, my lad! There's lots of room here! Close the lights! Oh, come on! Let's have a party! Come on, party! Yes! That's right! Ebenezer! What are you doing?
Well, sir, I'm not much one for parties, so I just thought I'd finish the inventory and then make my way home.
That's not okay, Ebenezer. It's not okay working for Christmas. Ridiculous. You know, you need time to relax and have some fun. I know what you need. Let me introduce you to someone. Belle! Belle!
Yes, Uncle Gascon.
Ebenezer, this is my niece, Belle. Belle, this is my best apprentice, Ebenezer.
Very nice to meet you, Ebenezer.
Nice to meet you as well.
We'll leave you two to get acquainted, eh? Matchmaker.
Hey, open another case of ass wine!
Wonderful party.
Yes, it is. I am sorry, but I'm afraid I stutter when I'm nervous.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Oh, you stutter as well?
Oh, no, I am studying to be a speech therapist. If I may make a suggestion?
Oh, yes, of course.
Try singing your words.
Oh, I'm not much of a singer.
Oh, just try a little and see.
Okay. Singing and seeing, and that stops my stuttering, because I really want to talk with you. It works. It works.
Yes, well, it does work, but perhaps it's not very practical. We could try a more unorthodox approach.
I'll try anything to keep you from going.
Well, it's a bit of an experimental method, and I have only seen it demonstrated once. So you see, you imagine the person you are speaking to is naked.
Naked?
Naked.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date.
You fell in love.
Yes, I did.
But it didn't last.
No, it didn't. Oh, spirit, why did you have to bring me here to the skating pond with
Ebenezer? Belle?
I need to get back to work, Belle. I am sorry, but I do not have time to skate with you all day.
Oh, Ebenezer, it matters little. Another idol has displaced me.
What idol?
A golden one.
Oh, you fault me for simply wanting to be wealthy.
Our contract is an old one, and it was made when we were both poor and content to be so. You have changed. When it was made, you were another man, so I release you.
I was a boy.
That which promised happiness when we were one in art is fraught with misery now that we are two. How often and how keenly I have thought of this, I will not say. It is enough that I have thought of it and can release you.
But I don't want to be released.
It is done.
I will undo it.
I can't.
Why not?
I'm in love with someone else.
What? Who?
Richard.
Do you mean Dick? My Dick?
I prefer Richard.
I prefer Dick.
Goodbye, Ebenezer.
Oh, no! Belle, please! Come back! At least if I can get the ring back so I can get a refund. Oh, spirit, show me no more. Conduct me home. Why do you delight to torture me?
One shadow more.
Oh, no more, no more. I don't wish to see it. Oh, show me no more.
Belle, I saw an old friend of yours this afternoon.
Who was it, Richard?
Guess.
Oh, how can I? I don't know.
It was Ebenezer Scrooge. I passed his office window and saw him. I hear his partner lies upon the point of death, and there Ebenezer sat all alone. Quite alone in the world, I do believe.
Oh, how sad.
Belle, are you truly happy you chose to be with me and not him?
Yes. Yes, of course. I love you.
I love you as well.
Do you want to help me prepare dinner?
Oh, would I? Oh, what do you want me to do?
I want you to mash these potatoes and add some cream and butter while they're hot.
Like this?
Yeah, that's good. Get all of the lumps out. I'm just going to cut these carrots. Oh, this knife is so dull, it makes them hard to cut.
Here, let me give you a hand.
Things that have been, that they are what they are. Do not blame me.
Remove me. I cannot bear it. Take me back. Haunt me no longer.
My time grows short, and now I must be gone.
Oh, disappeared like magic.
I'm still here.
Oh, well, tell me when you're gone, then.
Okay, I'm gone now.
But I still hear you.
Oh, you can? Well, then I didn't leave. Let's try again.
Spirits, are you gone now?
Yes, definitely.
I can still hear you.
Oh, that's so odd.
This went on for quite some time. But eventually the spirit of Christmas past disappeared entirely, like that. Magic. Once again, Ebenezer Scrooge was alone in his bed, as if he never left. Once again, the clocks began to chime, and the church bells marked the hour. Then suddenly, Ebenezer Scrooge heard a knock on his bedroom door. And although the door was locked and twice bolted, it swung open, and there was the largest head that Scrooge or anyone had ever seen. The eyes were enormous and seemed to look in every direction at once. Its mouth was huge, but could not restrain its tongue from lolling about, and its ears were the size of an elephant's. However, the oddest thing of all were two spindly legs that held the big head up. Then it spoke.
I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me. You have never seen the like of me before.
Never.
Have you never walked forth with my younger members of my family?
I'm afraid I have not. Have you had many brothers, Spirit?
More than 1,800.
Oh, a tremendous family to provide for, Spirit. Conduct me where you will. I went forth last night and I learnt a lesson that is working now. And if you have anything to teach me, let me profit by it.
Oh, touch my lobe.
Your robe? You don't seem to be wearing one.
My lobe!
I'm sorry, are you saying touch my load? I'm not sure what kind of man you think I am, but I will...
My earlobe!
Oh, yes, of course, I see. Earlobe, yes.
Touch my load.
Oh, yes, of course, I'll touch it. Will we fly over rooftops and see visions?
Something like that. Get to the chopper!
Scrooge touched the spirit's earlobe, and they were whisked away in the blinking of an eye. They found themselves outside the window of a small house in an area of the city that Scrooge was not familiar with.
My goodness, Spirit, where have you brought me to?
Have you never been to your clerk's home in Dover?
No, of course not.
The window is unlocked. Just open it and go inside.
Wouldn't that be breaking and entering?
Not in Dover.
All right, then.
So Scrooge made his way through the window and into the house, and then the spirit, with some effort, followed after him.
This is where my clerk, Bob Cratchit, lives.
It is. With his family.
Will they be able to see us?
We are invisible to them. Or at least I am.
now, children. Your father and Tiny Tim will be home any minute, and I want everything looking perfect.
Almost done setting the table, ma'am.
Oh, good work, Terry. But remember, this year we only need spoons. Please take the forks and knives away as to not raise expectations.
I finished decorating the tree, such as it is.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
I am Tinny Tim, and I surmise it is not a bad little tree. Maybe it just requires a modicum of love.
Oh, what a beautiful thing to say, Tinny Tim. Your father should be here. They're here. Hide, children, and you can surprise them.
Stealth mode activate.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Cratchit.
Oh, hello, Mr. Cratchit.
Where is everyone else?
I'm sorry, Bob, but all the other children are out with their friends.
Oh, not here on Christmas Eve.
Surprise!
Oh, this is a surprise. Oh, I could not imagine where else my family could be but home on Christmas Eve.
Oh, how is Tiny Tim in church today?
Oh, it was really cute. He wanted to sit right up front, and he had two little signs made, one that said, yay, and the other one that said, God, and he got the whole church going, yay, God, yay, God, yay.
But the really important thing is what I learned when I overheard two rather distinguished gentlemen speaking about something called economics. Apparently, if the rich pay fewer taxes, then money will just trickle down to those who aren't rich.
I'm not sure how that would work for people like us.
But Mum, these were men who were very well off, so maybe they just know something we don't.
Spirit, what a lad, what a lad. But he is not well, Spirit. Can you tell me if Tiny Tim will live?
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner and a crotch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Well, it's time for our traditional Christmas toast, so I'd like everyone to raise a glass. Tinny Tim, there, Terry, good. Mrs. Cratchit, everybody, Tiny? Yes, all right, yes. Good. So I'd like everyone to raise a glass to Ebenezer Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
I will not toast that man when he treats you so poorly.
Mrs. Cratchit, please. Look, he's all his family has. Without him, we wouldn't have anything. Look, if you won't do it for me, then do it for the children. Look at them. Look at their little faces. Look at that one. That one over there.
Well, all right. For the children.
I'd like everyone to raise a glass to Ebenezer Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
Mr. Scrooge!
And God bless us, everyone.
Now, kind spirit, say he will be spared.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, it is likely he will die. And die he should, to decrease the surplus population. In your face.
Oh, spirit!
Hurts, don't it? Oh.
Once again, Scrooge and the spirit flew into the night and arrived at another home that Scrooge did not recognize.
Where have you brought me to now, spirit? It looks like some place in Mackenzie Town.
Fred, have you made the punch yet?
Yes, Mary, it's all done and ready for the party.
Yes, of course. My nephew Fred's, that must be his wife.
Mary, I was going to tell you, I had the strangest dream last night. I was in charge of a savings and loan, and it was failing because it was I lost a deposit, and Mr. Potter, who owned the town bank, was going to use everything, take everything away from us. I got so depressed, I was going to jump off a bridge, but my guardian angel, Clarence, showed me what life would have been like if I had never been born. And Mary, you didn't even know me, and there wasn't even any Zuzu petals, and it wasn't a wonderful life. So I didn't jump, and everything worked out fine in the end.
Oh, well, that's quite the dream, and sounds quite like a quite good idea for a movie. You should write it down.
Oh, I think it's too odd a story for the movies. Maybe radio.
I'll get it.
Oh, hello. Merry Christmas.
Oh,
Professor Einstein, come in, come in.
Please call me Albert. Thank you very much for inviting me to your lovely home.
Our pleasure, Albert.
And where's your charming, and distinguished husband?
Oh, well, he must be getting the yank set up.
Yes, I've heard of this tradition you call the yank. I'm very excited to be a part of it.
Would you care for a drink?
Yeah, some schnapps if you have it.
Mm. Oh, excuse me, Albert.
Yeah, of course, Mary.
Hello, Mary. It's me, Robert Frost. Whose woods are these? I think I know. His house is in the village, though.
Come in, Mr. Frost.
The woods fill up with snow. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep. But I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep.
If you can't stay long, that's fine. You must be cold. May I offer you a drink?
Your head so much concerned with inner, mine with outer weather.
Albert and Mr. Frost, you're here. Sorry, I was just making sure everything was ready for later.
I'll get it.
Yeah, you must be Mary, yeah, she? My name's John Dillinger, and your husband invited me to this clam bake. I brought a small keg of Canadian whiskey. Here.
Thank you, Mr. Dillinger. Please, come in. Excuse me for a moment, Mr. Dillinger. Fred, may I have a quick word with you?
Oh, sure, Mary.
You invited a gangster to our home?
Well, Mary, he had nowhere else to go on Christmas. Apparently, he's on the run.
All right, Fred, it is Christmas. But someday that large heart of yours is going to get you into trouble.
So, Mr. Dillinger, what kind of work do you do?
Currently, I'm in the business of avoiding incarceration. I'd appreciate it if no one rats me out.
I have passed the watchman on his beat and dropped my eyes, unwilling to explain.
My lips are sealed as well. Hey, everyone, how about we play a game?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
What shall we play?
What about this 20 questions? I love asking questions and answering them.
Oh, yes, let's play 20 questions. May I go first?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, I've got one.
Is it something you can steal?
No, it's not something you can steal.
Is it the road not taken?
No, Mr. Frost.
Oh, is it a scarecrow from Wizard of Oz?
Oh, it is!
My God, you're a genius!
Oh, it's a simple deduction. Okay, now it's my turn. I have something.
Is it animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Oh, it's none of these.
Is it something you can steal?
Relatively.
Nature's first green is gold.
No, Mr. Frost.
Is it something with arms?
Yeah. Sometimes it has arms.
Does it have numbers?
Yes, of course.
Is it time?
Yeah, wunderbar. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
I've done time, so I know it well. All right, it's my turn. Yeah, I've got one.
Two roads diverge.
No, Mr. Frost.
Is it animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Yeah, it's an animal of sorts.
Oh, is it Harvey?
Harvey?
Never mind.
Is it a person?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a person, all right.
Oh, is it a horrible person?
Yeah.
Is it a monster?
Yeah, that's right, a horrible monster.
Does it feed off the misfortune of others, take advantage of those that can't defend themselves, and is only interested in profit gained from the misery of others?
Yeah, that's right.
I know. Is it Ebenezer Scrooge?
Yeah, that's right.
I thought it was.
It's your uncle there, Fred.
All right.
You've all had enough fun at my uncle's expense. But I'd like to make a toast. To my Uncle Ebenezer. I wish he was here.
Well,
now it's time for the Christmas yank, everyone. Come along, everyone. I have it all set up in the back.
It's
going to
be a good one this year.
Yeah, everyone will be
gifts
prepared. Just like the fumes in
Oh, no! 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 Oh, no!
Spirit, my nephew Fred, did you hear him make that toast to me? Perhaps I've been mistaken about the boy. Yes. Are these yours?
No, they are mankind's. The girl is want, the boy is ignorance. Fear them both, but fear the boy the most, for on his forehead is written, Doom! Doom! Doom!
These ragged and wretched creatures crawled out from the earlobes of the spirit and clawed at Scrooge, grabbing at his nightclothes and dragging him down, down, down. And suddenly they were gone. And Scrooge was once again in his bed. And once again the clocks chimed and the church bells rang, and Scrooge felt a deathly presence.
Molly was dead.
Oh, spirits, you're the last and the one I fear the most. Show me what you will. I know it's for my own good.
Ebenezer Scrooge felt a cold rush of wind, and he was transported into the future and the year 1953.
I recognize this place. It is a place of business, but in the future. And these men, they are businessmen.
Jeffrey, my good man, how are you?
I'm fine, Richard, fine. I understand you just got back from another successful space adventure.
Yes, well, I couldn't let you be the only one riding a huge, provocatively shaped rocket into the stratosphere.
Next time, for publicity, I'm going to take along that aging actor who played Flash Gordon in the 30s.
Oh, speaking of aging, have you heard the news?
Yes, he's dead.
Are you going to the funeral?
Only if they're serving lunch.
Not likely. Look at the time. I must fly.
And so must I, Richard. So must I. Jetpacks
away!
Much good is done. Much good it will ever do. Who is this man that they speak of? Would I know him? Where are you taking me now?
Quite alone in the world, I do believe.
Scrooge found himself in a bad part of town, in an establishment called Old Joe's. A place where you would never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Hello, Joe. I brought you some items to have a look at.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Pennywhistle. Let's see what you brought me. Well, what have you got then?
Well, these are all nice pair of cufflinks.
Oh, elegant looking, huh? Mesmerizing moss agates with a swirl of green inclusions. These would have been created by Carrington and Company in 14 karat gold, circa 1910.
Oh, then there was something.
Ah, if they were the real thing. But unfortunately, they're just cheap knockoffs. I'll give you 2p.
2p?
Take it or leave it.
Oh, all right, I'll take it.
What else have you got?
Ooh, I've got his shoes.
Hey, shoes, eh? Oh, well, let's have a look.
Full brogue leather, black and white uppers with perforations and gimping along the edges, together with a punched wing cap. Very nice. 2p.
2p? You said they were very nice.
Well, they're used shoes. What do you expect?
All right, I'll take your 2p. I've got one more item for you.
Ooh.
His bed sheets.
Oh. Ha ha, they're still warm.
Yeah, he won't be needing them where he's going.
right you are. These sheets are a special item then. 2p.
2p?
2p or not 2p? That is the question.
And I'll take it as my answer. All right then.
Oh, before I go, would you care to take a walk in the desert?
Well, you know me, I'm always up for a stroll amongst the dunes.
Toupee.
Kinky.
Midnight at the Oasis!
Can't you show me some emotion associated with this poor man's death?
I'll give you an ultimatum.
Suddenly, Scrooge found himself in a small apartment filled with children and a woman he vaguely recognized.
Now settle down there, children. You're making a horrible racket and your father will be home soon. Robert, you can cry all you want. No one cares if you don't like Mondays. Sinead, put down that picture of the Pope and get back to your singing practice. Bono, quit looking all high and mighty and get back to your homework or you won't amount to anything. Oh, well, there you are. So what did he say?
Oh, he didn't say a thing.
He didn't say a thing?
No, because he's dead.
Oh, well, who will we pay our loan back to now?
RBC, for all I care. He's dead. Oh. He's dead.
Oh, Paddy, strike up the band. He's dead.
Is it a horror? Is it a monster?
I didn't mean happiness. Is there no sympathy regarding this poor man's death? Oh, wait, Spirit. Where have you brought me to now? Is that... Yes, it's Bob Cratchit, of course.
Hello, Tim. It's a beautiful day. Sorry you couldn't be here to see it. Be with us. I'm sorry to say that your mum couldn't make it today because she's feeling poorly and, well, she's still just a little bit angry with me because I listened to Mr. Scrooge. You see... You died of smallpox, measles, and polio because Mr. Scrooge said no one should get vaccinated. Mr. Scrooge told me that vaccines make you sterile, magnetic, and were a way of controlling the population, and so we become docile like sheep. And also Mr. Rockefeller could put up more telegraph lines. Anyway, between you and me, Tim, Mr. Scrooge was wrong. Oh, Tim, we sure do miss you this time of year and all the wonderful things that you used to do and... The wonderful things you used to say. Sometimes it's almost as if I can hear your voice, Tim.
God bless us, everyone.
Oh, Tim.
Oh.
They'll die, they should. They should.
You killed Tiny Tim. Why would you do such a thing? He was just a boy. Why are you pointing at me?
It wasn't me.
Oh, Spirit, where have you taken me to? A grave. But whose grave is it? I don't want to know.
I rode naughty a loron, and will all be Scotland for ye.
Oh, where am I? Oh, it's a graveyard. Oh, and there's a grave. Whose grave is it?
Ho, 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 Ebenezer Scrooge, you old bastard. Huh? I lost my wife and my wee bairns because of ye. Well, I've got something for ye. Should old acquaintance be forgot? Old lang syne.
It doesn't have to be this way. I can change. These are all events in the future, and if I change, then these events will change. And I can change. I can change. I can change. I can change. There's no place for
you. Once more, Scrooge was in his bed. But now he was soundly asleep. When he woke up, he was filled with joy and happiness.
Oh,
But he also realized that he was not alone.
The spirits did it all in one night!
Yes, it did!
I can change!
You can change!
I change! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Yes, yes, sir.
Awkward.
A little.
Merry Christmas!
Yes, yes. The spirits did do it all in one night. But the question is, what day is it? Oh, I know. Ask someone in the street.
Hello, excuse me. I'm just wondering what day. Oh, yes, sir. Of course, you're in a hurry.
I know what day it is.
The elderly gentleman with the top hat, perhaps you...
I know what day it is.
You young lady, perhaps...
Yes, I know what day it is.
How about someone else?
Why did you try asking me?
I have a horrible feeling that if I ask you, you will go on at some length and not just say, why, it's Christmas Day, sir.
Well, there's no way to know if you don't try.
Tell me, boy, what day is it?
Why, it's Christmas Day, sir.
That was very brief. Uh-huh. Perhaps I was mistaken about you. Would you like to come in where it's warm?
Okay, sure.
Might have some water for you. Yes, come on in. Yes.
Okay.
Don't worry, I've changed.
Okay, good.
I've changed, yes.
Yes, I have changed. Well, good. Now my arm got all stretchy.
Yes, it did. Well, it's better now.
Why is there a buck on your floor?
I don't know. I have no idea what's going on.
Can I have it?
In my own bedroom. Anyways, listen. I have a job for you.
Okay, just.
What are you doing?
I'm just going to find a keeper's guy.
All right. Now listen, do you know the butcher's on the corner?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, now is that turkey still in the window?
The one as big as me?
Yes, I suppose it is.
Yeah, it's a pretty big turkey. I don't know what they're putting in turkeys these days. Probably growth hormones. If it were me, I'd probably just go vegan, get yourself a tofurkey and have it done with.
Now, listen, do you know my clerk, Bob Cratchit?
Oh, yes, I do. The one as big as me.
Yes, I suppose he is.
Yeah, he's precisely as big as me.
Yes,
Bob Cratchit's about my size. And for a lot of the pandemic, he was about 30 pounds heavier. It was not good. He had to buy a Bowflex and work it off in like 2 months. Apparently, his blood pressure was through the roof.
Well, that's very interesting to know. Now, listen, if I gave you some money, would you go buy that turkey and take it to Bob Cratchit's house?
Oh, sure,
Do you know where he lives?
Yes, in Dover.
Yes, in Dover. Now, there'll be money left over from the turkey, and that money is yours.
Okay, sounds great.
But I do have one more job for you.
Okay.
Now, do you know my nephew Fred?
Yes, the one as big as me.
No, he's actually, I think, a little taller.
He gets a lot of cardio, I know.
You know. Well, anyways, now, do you know where he lives?
Yes, in Mackenzietown.
Yes, Mackenzietown. Sounds like a magical place.
It is a magical place. They've got a roundabout and a gazebo in the middle of it. But nobody ever goes there because people go around the roundabout too fast. It's like two lanes. Like, how do you get into that gazebo? You have to risk your life just getting in the middle there.
Well, that's
Then what are you going to do? Like, there's right across the way is that convenience store in Prestwick, but you can't make a run for it. Not at that speed. And nobody knows how to use a roundabout in Calgary. They're just like, you just yield to the left. That's all you have to do at a roundabout. Just yield to the traffic on the left. Should I stop? Should I go? Should I keep on going?
I think we got a little bit off track there.
Okay, sure.
Now,
where were we?
What I was going to ask you is, if I write this note out, which I'm doing right now.
Okay, you're writing a note.
I'm writing a note. Would you take that to Fred's house?
Are you going to write a note?
I did write a note.
You did not write a note.
I did write it.
No, you did not.
Really, it's just the sound of the writing.
Why?
Was it a radio play?
How hard would it be just to write a note?
We don't need to because nobody's watching.
All of these people are watching.
But they can tell that I'm... I just said I'm writing a note.
Okay, sure, I'll take it.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, of course. I'm sorry. I've changed. You've changed. I'm going to change.
Would you do that for me?
Yes, of course. I'll take this note to Mackenzietown.
Excellent. Wonderful. Good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You have places to go?
Yes, I do. Yeah, got to be on my way.
Well, okay.
You got to make sure my vaccine passport's in order to get to Mackenzietown. They are not messing around over there.
No.
Yeah, I tried to get in there with one shot of AstraZeneca, and they were like, beat it, Jack. And I was like, I'm Gen X. What do you want me to do? They gave me AstraZeneca, and they were like, sorry, you're not going to be able to travel for 9 years. I was like, it's a good shot. It works perfectly. You know what other shot works? The Russian one. Sputnik works fine. They won't distribute any of that. But Jason Kenney keeps telling us they're out of shots, and pharmacies keep saying, we've got plenty, guy. Jason Kenney was on vacation for a month. You know who took over the health ministry? Adriana LaGrange. She's in charge of education. That is not a good role for somebody in charge of vaccines.
Oh, look at the time.
We're digressing.
Look at the time.
If I can make it through that, I can make it through anything. Oh, I know. I'm going to go out into the streets of London and wish everybody I see a Merry Christmas.
And so Ebenezer Scrooge went out into the streets of London to celebrate Christmas with a good cheer to every person he met.
Gentlemen, I was hoping I would run into you.
Now. We didn't want any more trouble, Mr. Scrooge.
Oh, no. I've changed. Merry Christmas. And I wish to make a rather substantial donation to that charity of yours. Perhaps the amount of...
He just said
Yes, that's a rather substantial amount. Now, you come around to my office... First thing in the morning, and we'll make all the arrangements.
Yes, of course. Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Scrooge.
Yes, yes.
And Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas. You. Irish couple.
Oh.
Yes, I was hoping I'd run into you as well.
Oh, no, Mr. Scrooge. We don't want any more. You've already ruined our lives. You're not going to ruin our Christmas.
No. I've changed. Yes, I'm going to give you an extension on that loan. Yes, and we're going to find new housing for you and that large, beautiful family of yours. Yes.
Oh, really,
yes.
Mr. Scrooge?
Yes, really. Oh. Yes, you come to my office next week, and we'll take care of you.
Oh, well, that's very generous of you, Mrs.
Oh, Merry Christmas. The baby's coming.
The baby. Oh, the baby's coming.
Oh,
that's a shame, as if I ever saw one.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Mary, Mary, oh, this is so good. It makes me so happy.
Should we have another one?
Of course we should. Oh, let's go.
Oh, well, it's Christmas. Go ahead. places to go and people to see. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Meanwhile, the Cratchit household was preparing for Christmas, and Bob and Tiny Tim had just arrived home.
Oh, how was Tiny Tim in church today?
Oh, it was really cute. He wanted to sit right up front. He had two little signs, one that said, yay, and the other one that said, God, got the whole church going, yeah, excuse me, I'll just grab that. Oh, Fred, please come in.
Sorry to bother you on Christmas morning, but a rather talkative boy came to my home. I would have been here earlier, but he came with a note from the uncle, but he asked me to meet him here.
Mr. Scrooge is coming here.
I guess so.
I'll get it. Mr. Scrooge, please come in.
Mr. Cratchit, why were you not at work today?
Well, it's Christmas Day, sir, and...
That's your excuse? Well, from this day forward, you're no longer my clerk.
Oh, Mr. Scrooge.
Because from this day forward, you're going to be my junior partner.
No, it's
a good thing. Junior partner, it means a raise. And it means benefits, and you can take care of this family of yours. Yes, congratulations, Bob Cratchit. Yes, yes. And my nephew Fred. Now, listen, I want to thank you for making that toast to me at your party last night. Yes, I did it very much.
My party? My party's tonight, Uncle.
Oh, yes, of course. Spirits, yes.
time, eh? Well, anyways, I'm coming to that party of yours. I'm going to meet that wife. Yes.
What? Really?
Yes, of course.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Uncle, she'll be so happy to meet you. And I got to get everything prepared. We have a wonderful list of guests tonight. You're going to love them. And I got to get the yank set up.
If I can make an offer a word of advice, when it comes to your yank, use half the gunpowder and twice the amount of feathers indicated in the recipe. Yes.
Oh, that's a good idea, Uncle. Okay, I will do that. Oh, Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Cratchit. Merry Christmas, Tiny Tim.
Now, where's that boy, Tiny Tim?
I'm right here, Mr. Scrooge.
So you are. Now, we're going to get the finest doctors that money can buy, and we're going to fix that leg. And we're going to get you vaccinated for polio and measles and whatever else comes along that might harm you.
And will you teach me about making wise investments in uncertain times, Mr. Scrooge?
God, I love this boy. Yes, your Uncle Ebenezer will teach you everything you need to know about creating wealth and sharing it with those less fortunate. Now, Tim, if you could say those beautiful words that you say at this time of year.
God bless us, everyone.
Aww.
And so Ebenezer Scrooge's heart grew 3 sizes that day. From that day forward, there was no one who kept Christmas better than Ebenezer Scrooge. But there are still Scrooges out there, and if they do not change their ways, they might be visited by...
By me.
I'll be back.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
And from all of us here at the LNTC Broadcasting Network and the Van Dyke and Brunchette family of fine products, thank you for joining us in this special presentation of... A Christmas Carol.